You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Quick, can you find your pet's pulse? If your dog came to you limping with a bloody leg, would you know what to do? Or would you just simply panic? Uh-oh, your cat is choking on kibble, and this isn't just a hairball. What should you do? I hear a lot of silence out there. If you're not sure what to do, you've got a lot of company. Sadly, far too many people know far too little about pet first aid. You know, we love our pets. We adore them. We shower them with gifts and treats and plenty of pampering. But one of the best ways to show your dog or cat just how much you love them is to know how to act when there's an emergency medical situation. Or, you know, Mother Nature decides to unleash a flood, an earthquake, or some other nasty natural disaster your way. Help is here. I am very honored to introduce to you Dr. Deborah Mundell. She is the pet medical advisor for the American Red Cross. They have two new booklets called Cat First Aid and Dog First Aid. And she also has some other nice, wonderful credentials after her name. She is on staff at the University of Pennsylvania's Emergency Veterinary Clinic. She's here to help us understand how we can do a little bit of pet first aid and a little safety for our pets. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mundell.
Hello.
Hello. We're going to learn how to check a pet's pulse, know what's really normal for your pet, and provide a little CPR tips from our good doc right after we take this commercial break. So sit and stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Pawfume Dog Grooming and Finishing Spray is proud to be a new sponsor of Pet Life Radio. Pawfume Super Long Lasting Sprays are available in four unique fragrances. Each Pawfume spray is fortified with the finest conditioners and detanglers to make combing out your dog more fun. Pawfume retails for only $2 per 6-ounce bottle. Pawfume is available nationwide at all Dollar General and Family Dollar stores. Why pay more to have your dog smell great? Pawfume, Pawfume.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step by step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Doc. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. All Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now, back to your fetching host, America's Pet Edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the All Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our special guest today is Dr. Deborah Mundell. She's the Pet Medical Advisor for the American Red Cross. She served as their medical expert for a pair of revised American Red Cross training booklets on dog and cat first aid. She's also on staff at the University of Pennsylvania's Veterinary Emergency Clinic. And she's also a new mommy to a baby boy. What's his name?
Elias.
Elias, what a great name. And a proud pet parent of two rescue dogs. Let's get a quick bio out to them.
Tigger, who is a rescue parvo puppy 12 and a half years ago.
Okay.
He is a mixed Dane, and Sona Mana, or Mana, like we like to call her, was rescued from the Hopi Reservation in Arizona, and she had a whole bunch of problems when we first got her, but she is happy, healthy, loves to eat all the kids' leftover food, and doing very well.
Well, maybe Elias is, you know, getting pretty good at spilling off the baby feed.
Yeah, it's amazing how nice, how quickly dogs learn where to sit.
Now, Elias wasn't a rescue. He actually came from you, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I don't want to give any short-sighted to the two-legger in your family, but congratulations on being a new mom.
Thank you. Third time.
Oh, hey, better give a shout-out to the other two so we don't have siblings snibbling.
Shout-out to Spencer and Jeremy.
Okay, Spencer and Jeremy, you're the best. Pause up, man. Let's talk a little bit about the Red Cross. I mean, people sometimes tend to equate the Red Cross with help for people and not necessarily pets. So what got you hooked up with them? And let's talk a little bit about why it's so important for us as pet parents, pet guardians, pet mommies, daddies, whatever you want to call yourself, why we should even think about pet first aid.
Well, certainly as a veterinarian and as emergency room veterinarian, you know, seeing emergencies that come in, knowing that for some of them, you know, maybe the animals were showing signs a little bit sooner, very, very subtle signs, knowing that potentially things could have been done if owners knew what to look for. And like you had said earlier, the majority of times they don't know what to look for, and they usually are very subtle signs. It's sort of one facet, having that avenue out for people to then understand and realize how important it is to know what's normal and look at their pets very closely. And the Red Cross certainly being the best avenue because they are the premier first aid organization and for disasters. And I think after Katrina hit and everyone realized how important pets were as part of the family and how integral they were as part of the family, people were not going to leave their pets just like they wouldn't leave their kids.
Absolutely.
And it sort of snowballed into this, you know, listen, we need to put this information out there. People need to know where to turn, what to do, be prepared for everyday things and obviously disaster emergencies.
Yeah. And so the Red Cross and you just, I know they've had what was just generically a pet first aid book, and it was out, and it was a pretty good book, but it's been, you know, as old as an old lab. Yeah, so let's talk about why is it more important to do separate first aid books on dogs and cats?
Well, I think that if you can focus more on a dog and obviously focus more on a cat, if you separate the two out, they do have different things that are different for them. If there are obviously people who have both dogs and cats, so they would need both books. But there are a majority of people who only have dogs, only have cats. Don't need to weed through the cat part if you're having a dog emergency. So
right.
It definitely made sense to separate them out and focus more on the individual species.
I like the fact that you've got the DVDs, too, for folks that are very visual or, you know, you can just pop it in with your kids, right?
Yeah, the DVDs are, and my kids did watch them. Going through them, they were right there with me. You know, they had some good words of wisdom, you know, for as kids do when it comes to animals. But yes, the DVDs are very helpful and really you can say something 1,000 times. When you actually see it, it makes all so much more sense.
You know, I have a lot of respect for kids because I do think if you just listen to them, they can make your life really better. You look more like a genius. And it sounds like
without
Spencer
question.
And Jeremy are like that.
Without question, yeah.
How old are they, if I may ask?
7.5 and 5.
Okay.
And, animal lovers through and through.
Okay. Well, one day they'll be having their own radio show on Pet Life Radio. I'm sure.
They may.
That would be such a great guest. You'd be such a proud mom, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about what is normal in a dog or a cat. I mean, we're talking everything from their eating habits and my favorite pooping habits and just their normal energy levels. Let's go a little bit about helping us get a baseline, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you really want to get a baseline of their attitude, activity level. You know, are they the type who immediately jump up as soon as you get up or come home, or do they take a little bit longer and that's normal for them? Mm-hmm. Are they first to eat, you know, their whole entire bowl of food, or do they sort of graze throughout the day? You need to know, because that can signal something if they do the reverse or the opposite. Urinating and defecating, urinating especially. You know, a lot of dogs, they're just either let outside, you know, go for walks and they're not really paying attention, but you need to know, are they urinating more? Are they urinating less? Are they straining to urinate? And cats as well. Are they drinking more? Are you filling the water bowl more throughout the day, or noticing that your animal's always at the water bowl drinking? Any vomiting or any diarrhea? You know, some, we all know cats, you know, historically can vomit very easily if you look at them funny. but is that happening more frequently? Is it not just because a hairball gets stuck? Are they having more frequent hairball problems?
If I look at my cats, Callie and Murphy, and I just sort of like give them a little cross-eyed, you're saying they could vomit on cue?
They just may. They just may.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Please.
They'll do it until you need them to do it, and then they will not. They're very funny, funny little creatures. So really just their day-to-day habits, because it's always, you know, hindsight obviously is always, you know, a wonderful thing to have. And many times owners will come in and say, you know, now that I think about it, I have been filling the dog bowl or the cat bowl more often. And so just trying to, you know, really try to recognize whether that's happening or not.
Well, that's good, because when you come in, even when it is an emergency, to say, see your veterinarian for a regular visit, a wellness visit or an annual visit, it's probably not a bad idea, is it, to jot down some of the normal habits to give to
Absolutely
the
veterinarian? Absolutely not, because they'll ask you. Those are questions every veterinarian will ask you. You know, has anything changed? Have you noticed anything? And so you definitely want to, same thing with going over your pet, you know, yes, you stroke their ears or scratch them, but really going over them with both hands, noticing any new lumps or scratches or bruises. Mm-hmm. If you notice a lump, you know, tracking if it's growing or how fast it's growing, writing everything down.
Or that their ears smell like stinky socks, right?
Yeah. You probably wouldn't wait for a wellness exam for that, but that's obviously very important as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, let's get down in the mouth of a little bit with our dogs and cats. One of the best indicators, I actually took your course, the pet first aid course in San Diego, and it was great. I loved it. And I was really happy to see is that our class was a good mix of people that were either starting boarding facilities or training facilities to just pet parents, you know, to others. So there was actually a grandma there who sometimes take care of her daughter's pets.
She said,
I just want to know a little bit more about this Yorkie. So let's go to the gums, you know. How can we check our pet's gums to make sure if things are sort of healthy or it's an early warning sign?
Yep, their gum color is very important. And for dogs, you know, they might have pigmented gums where their gums above the teeth, or if you lift their muzzle, you know, the skin of their muzzle out, that's another area that could be pink, might be pigmented, but there's always some pink somewhere.
Okay.
You can also look at their tongue, but their gum color is a little bit more sensitive. And cats as well, you know, you kind of look right above their canine tooth, or not directly above it, but a couple millimeters above that. Any dental disease might cause the gum line to be a little bit more red. But above that, you want it to be nice and pink and moist.
Okay.
Any change, pale, white, blue, brown, any change from that nice pink color can definitely signal a disease process, either starting or right in the middle.
Now, I'm looking at my two cats that are very tight-lipped right now. Any tips on how to get that mouth open in a feline?
Well, again, the easiest part is just right above the canine. And if you hold, of course, I don't have a cat in front of me, but if you hold, if you're right-handed and you hold their head sort of from the top of their head with your left hand and just come in from your right hand and just lift their gum with your thumb, lift their muzzle or their mouth with your thumb, you can get a good look at their gum line.
Okay. And don't go up to them and go, yow, I'm going to look at your gum. I mean, in other words, you kind of be
you
like...
You want to go slow. Yeah, pet them a couple times, you know. They'll get used to it. They'll get used to it. I'm sure the first couple times they're going to think you're crazy, but then they'll get used to it and let you look.
Don't you think cats think we're crazy already?
Oh, absolutely.
They just have to.
Absolutely.
They're just you're just lucky to stay with me. You pay the mortgage.
They can give us looks. Oh, yeah.
Mine are pretty nice, though, I got to say. They're pretty okay. So the gums is one thing. What about, you know, we talked a little bit about the eating habits. So if you have a dog that acts like a Hoover and starting to sort of, you know, kind of just nibble at the bowl, that might be a clue, too?
Huge clue. Okay. For organ diseases like kidney or liver or GI diseases, gastrointestinal diseases. So a lot of people come in, especially as you can see, like owners of Labradors. Mm-hmm. Labradors obviously notorious for eating absolutely everything. The first sign of them not wanting to eat their food usually signals a problem.
Okay, that's pretty good, yeah. And what about, let's just really get it, hope everybody puts your forks down if you're eating a sandwich right now, just hang tight. Let's talk about pee and poop. So there's got to be something that's a signal. If, like, when I cleaned my cat's litter boxes a long time ago, one of my cats had a urinary tract infection. And I noticed that the deposits weren't normal, and they took a little more of my muscle to scrape the wonderful litter box, and so we got that treated. So let's talk a little bit about pee and poop and what should be normal and what not.
Yeah, it really, you know, you want to, with cats, how often you're needing to change the litter box. It's very hard, I think, with multiple cat households, because it can be very hard to know which cat maybe urinating more or less, and so then it kind of comes to following the cat and trying to pay attention a little bit more, which, as you can imagine, the cat then is never going to go while you're looking.
Yeah, the cat's probably saying, please don't you dare videotape
follow me.
Exactly. YouTube, I will get you.
But it's basically, are you needing to clean it out more? Are they urinating more? Are you seeing them go more frequently to the litter box? Are they vocalizing while they're trying to urinate? So, you know, and they're vocalizing and straining and no urine is coming out, you know, a male blocked cat is a very common emergency. So you always want to make sure that they're able to pass urine, and then on the reverse, are they urinating too much? Are they all of a sudden urinating a lot more? And that many times goes hand in hand with drinking a lot more. They're actually drinking to compensate for how much they're urinating. Same with dogs. Are they going out, asking to go out much more frequently? Do they, if you're going for a walk, are you walking them and they're straining or only little bits are coming out each time? A little bit harder with male dogs if they're marking, because they might mark every place. But if they're really straining and only dribbles are coming out, or again, they're doing a behavior that's not normal for them, that can definitely signal problems. So too much or too little or not at all, or both are very important.
What about the scoop on poop?
Yeah, for defecating, it's really going to be, you know, cats get constipated. Dogs can get constipated, not as commonly as cats, and obviously diarrhea in either of them, from the very soft to the full-blown liquid blowout, profuse diarrhea. Those, again, can signal, it can be just something as simple as they dietary indiscretion, had a treat that they weren't used to something a lot more serious.
Okay, and the colors change. I mean, not to be gross here, but my sister came to visit with her three Texas dogs from Texas, and it was really a fun daily chore with the scoop patrol in the backyard, but I noticed one of them, it was kind of yellowish, and I was like, you know, you might want to check that out.
Yeah, I mean, any, and again, has it always been yellow, or is it just yellow since coming to visit you? So it's more the change. And different colors, black. Anybody ever notice black tarry stool? That's an emergency. That's definitely abnormal.
Is that dried blood, or what is that?
That's, yeah, digested blood. Exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it was fun having a sister to sister chat about dog poop, I tell you. We really fun.
You know you're close when.
Yeah, you know you're close when. You know, we are speaking with Dr. Deborah Mandel. She is an emergency veterinarian. She's on staff at the University of Pennsylvania. She also is the pet medical advisor for the American Red Cross. We're going to learn a little bit more about pet safety so we can really be great for our dogs and cats right after we take this commercial break. So sit and stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. All Behave will be right back.
Give your dog some thought with Dog Thoughts. It's the iPhone application that everyone's talking about.
Hey, what do you think of this? A man in Davis, California says he's invented an application for the iPhone that claims it can read your dog's mind. Huh? No, it's true. I read about it on my cat's Twitter page. That's fine.
Jay Leno talked about it, CBS reported on it, and now you can see what all the buzz is about. Created just for dog lovers, Dog Thoughts makes taking photos of your furry best friend more fun. Shake your dog and read his mind. On your iPhone, of course. Take a pic of your pup, shake your phone, and watch as his thoughts appear on the screen. Does he have a bone to pick with you, or is he having a tail-wagging day? Get your Dog Thoughts iPhone app today. Just 99 cents. Go to PetLifeRadioPromotions.com. That's PetLifeRadioPromotions.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Rachel Ray, and you're listening to Oh Behave with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
Oh Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the Oh Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. We're talking with Dr. Deborah Mundell. She's the pet medical advisor for the American Red Cross. She's also an emergency veterinarian on staff at the veterinary hospital at the University of Pennsylvania in a great city, Philadelphia. Accidents and injuries can happen to our pets anytime, anywhere. So that's a given. So let's share some specifics with our listeners, Dr. Mundell. They're all ears. Let's start with the ABCs of CPR for dogs and cats. And I'm not asking you to make sure everybody knows by the time they listen to the show that they'll be experts, but right. Some guidelines and maybe some ways to nudge them to take an American Red Cross on dog and cat first aid.
Well, if you think of, say, you come home and you see your animal just collapsed on the floor, right. What are you going to do first? That's where really first aid and knowing what to do in an emergency becomes most important. So you don't panic. You already know what's normal. You know what to do. You can have a very calm, as much as obviously you're not going to be too calm, right. but a calm approach so you're not panicking. And certainly the first thing to look is A, which is airway. You okay. want to see, do you open their mouth? Is there anything in their mouth obstructing? You know, dogs play with balls, cats play with toys. If something gets stuck in their mouth, so you want to check their airway. Is it patent? Are they breathing? B would be breathing. Do you see their chest rising and falling with their breathing?
Yeah, let's do a couple of tricks on that because I know sometimes it could be tough on a cat or a dog. Someone said something like a cotton ball or a
mirror. you can do a cotton ball. You can do a mirror. Those are the two things you can kind of put in front of their nose. See if the cotton ball is moving. See if you see any steam on the mirror. If you're not sure that they're breathing, give them a couple breaths. Give them a couple of mouth-to-nose breaths. And basically, as far as how much you breathe in, you really want to make sure that their chest is expanding. So obviously, a cat is going to take a little bit less than a Great Dane. Obviously,
yeah.
I take a little bit more of your breath to get his chest to rise. So airway breathing, those are your first thing.
Okay.
Your first things. C is circulation. Is their heart beating? Is their heart beating adequately where you feel pulses? So the two ways you can do that is put your hand on their chest, and if you put their arm back, the point of their elbow is sort of an approximation of where their heart is.
Mm-hmm.
Put your hand there or your ear there. Do you hear or feel their heart beating? You want to also try to feel for a femoral pulse, which is in the middle inside of their thighs. Do you feel pulses with the heartbeat if the heart's beating? If you answer no to all of those, then you need to start CPR.
That's the compressions.
Breathing and compressions.
And compressions,
exactly.
Correct. Okay. Now, people might go, ooh, but I don't think people will go, ooh, would they, with their pets?
No. They'll step up to the plate and do what needs to be done.
You were talking to me.
More people will definitely start CPR.
You've probably had those cases. I think, well, when we're setting up this show, you were talking about a Yorkie that a couple came into your emergency hospital at the University of Pennsylvania. Tell us a little bit about that Yorkie.
Yeah, it was a Yorkie that was driving.
It was driving?
The Yorkie was driving, yeah. We have very smart dogs in this area.
I know they're smart.
The parents of the Yorkie were driving to visit some people in Philly. They had a few-hour drive. And as they were getting closer to Philadelphia, the Yorkie does have some tracheal problems, collapsing trachea. The Yorkie started having a lot of difficulty breathing. They knew that it was having difficulty breathing. They were just trying to drive to an emergency hospital. She actually stopped breathing. And so they started mouth-to-nose resuscitation, started breathing for her. And she started breathing on her own, and they were able to get here, and we were able to treat the dog, and she went home a couple days later.
What were you able to do for the Yorkie? What did you need to do medically?
We immediately placed her in an oxygen cage and gave her medications to calm her down and stop her from coughing. There are tracheal stents now that you can place as well to kind of keep that trachea open,
mm-hmm.
Which we did not perform in her. We were able to stabilize her with medical management, just very aggressive medical management. But I don't doubt for a second that she did stop breathing in the car, and they really helped her.
Can you imagine that reunion 2 days later when they come to pick up their Yorkie at your hospital?
Oh, I was. They were crying. They were so happy, so very happy.
Wow.
They were very.
That's where you say to yourself, "Wow, I think I love my job."
Right? Oh, I say that every day. Mm-hmm. I actually happen to say that every day. So, but things like that definitely make it worthwhile.
Now, what about any, for all the feline listeners out there, any happy success story for a cat?
We did have, a couple years ago, a kitten who decided to chew on an electrical cord.
Yes.
Which, again, cats and kittens don't usually do, but every once in a while you get a mischievous one, thinks it's a dog and it's going to chew on things. Chewed on the electric cord, and when they get electrocuted, it causes a massive amount of fluid to build up in the lungs, which had happened, and this kitten, very cute orange kitten, did stop breathing on the way here. Luckily, they were very close to the hospital, and so they started CPR, and again, we were able to save that kitten.
So when the kitten came in then, too, after you stabilized, you'd had to drain the lungs, right, of the fluid?
Well, yeah, that, unfortunately, you can only do with medication as well.
Okay. No, I'm not asking people, do not do this at home. I'm just saying that's what you were able to do.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the kitty got to be, that was life number one, strike, so eight more to go.
Exactly.
Well, that's good. You know, we've been talking a little bit about pet first aid, and it seems that this is a nice, it's a natural transition. I mean, do you find that many people that have pets don't even have a pet first aid kit at home?
I'm sure that they don't. I'm sure that, you know, and similar, I doubt that they have first aid kits for themselves, potentially, or disaster kits for themselves. But, you know, or they'll think that their human first aid kit would be they can just use that in a in an animal in emergency.
Yeah.
So I would think that a lot of people don't have specific pet first aid kits.
Not that I'm asking you to go door to door across America to do a survey. I'm not asking you to do that. But let's talk a little bit, because I understand something like simple as hydrogen peroxide is great for us, but it's not maybe a good choice for treating a pet's minor wound. Is that correct?
Yeah, you don't, you know, pet wounds can get, they're tricky because anything you put on the skin, they're going to want to lick off and chew.
Right.
It's more important to just clean a wound, and it's better to do that with just sterile or sanitized or boiled, you know, something sterile water, even just regular water if you don't have anything, just to clean all of the dirt and debris out. Hydrogen peroxide, especially repeatedly, can cause more tissue damage. So sometimes it's useful to have if you can't get to a veterinarian and you need to induce vomiting, always call your vet before doing that. But we usually don't recommend it for wounds or sore skin.
The other thing I thought was interesting when I took your class and pet first aid by the American Red Cross is when you do have like bleeding, the wrong thing to do is to keep peeling back that bloodied gauze. In other words, while you're getting to the veterinarian or the emergency clinic, and can you address that?
Yeah, basically, if you have a laceration, if your dog or cat stepped on something, which is probably the most common thing that we see, and they have a wound on their foot, they can bleed profusely. You put gauze and you apply direct pressure, similar to what you would do in a person. If it's soaking through, you don't take that original piece of gauze off. You put another layer on top, and so you keep doing that. If you pull that original piece of gauze off, you can pull any blood clot that's trying to form. So you just keep layering it, and you leave that in place.
Okay, see, that's a very important tip. Now, I'm not asking everybody to become doggy doogie housers over this 1 30-minute show, but I do think that working with your veterinarian and having some pet first aid knowledge is probably the best gift we can give our pets.
Absolutely. I tell owners when they're coming to pick up their pets how to look for pulses. I show them their gums. I kind of go through everything, and your veterinarian can do that for wellness exams.
That's a great idea. Yeah, just say, hey, doc, can you just show me? That would, you know, sometimes people are very visual. I think that's a great idea, and that doesn't take that much time, does it?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay. Now, we've talked about pet first aid and some courses, but, you know, Mother Nature is not always dog's best friend or cat's best friend. So any advice you can help us on being a little bit better prepared for any natural or unexpected disaster that makes us have to flee our homes?
That is just so, you know, again, I think Katrina was a big eye-opener to everybody. And these days, unfortunately, it doesn't have to be an earthquake or flood or something like that with all the other potential disasters that can happen. But your disaster kit, and you should have one, obviously, for yourself, your family, and one for your pet. Besides food and water, you want to have your medical records, your pet's vaccine status, and make sure that they're up to date on vaccines, a photo of your pet, a pet carrier for cats and small dogs, a blanket, a muzzle, a leash, you know, anything that you can need. And the other important thing is, where are you going to take your pets? If you need to go somewhere, you need to evacuate, you're not going to be able to take your pet to a shelter. So you need to have something lined up. There are boarding facilities, kennels, some hotels allow animals. So you want to just have a place or a person lined up who can care for your pet while you're dealing with everything else.
You want to have maybe more than one.
Absolutely.
Case.
Okay. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, that sounds good. We're speaking with Dr. Deborah Mendel. She is the pet medical advisor for the American Red Cross. You need to get these books and take the classes. They offer new books on cat first aid and dog first aid. And yes, there's handy dandy DVDs accompanying each of these booklets. She's also on staff at the, let's make sure I do this right, at the Veterinary Hospital at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. Boy, that's hard to say. Let me do it again.
It is.
At the Veterinary Hospital at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. And I actually got to spend a long weekend there a long time ago for a magazine assignment and hung out with your staff at, so we might have even crossed paths
I'm
and
sure
everything.
We did, yeah.
And I was the obnoxious reporter, you know, watching everybody come in. But
I was the one hiding behind the cages.
yeah, that's it. That's right. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we call it an episode?
Just, you know your pets, know what's normal, give them plenty of love, and take them to the vet for their exams, and just give them tons of kisses and love, I think. And obviously, I want to give a shout-out to everyone in the emergency service at the Veterinary Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania.
And I would like my Philly cheesesteak now. No, I'm just kidding. I used to live near Philadelphia in beautiful Emmaus, Pennsylvania, when I worked at Prevention Magazine. So mm-hmm. I love going down to Philly, and it's one of the greatest towns because you can never get lost. It's such a grid. If you get lost, it's shame on you.
It's very easy to write.
Yeah, that's right. All right.
Well, did you have the Geno's or the Pat's cheesesteak?
I had... which is the one on the triangle slice, the original? Is that Pat's or Geno's? The one that's on the triangle.
I would have to ask my husband.
Yeah, all I know is you have to ask for it right or you get kicked out of line.
Yep, that's true.
So I was like really, really nervous, but I made it. I feel very successful. So I just wanted to thank you again, Dr. Deborah Mandel. You're doing really life-saving work for dogs, cats, and other critters everywhere. And I thank you because I think as goofy as I try to be on this show, this is really serious and we love our pets. And to me, this is probably the best gift we can ever give them.
I would agree.
All right. So again, thank you for being on the show. Take care
thank
of
you.
Your two and four leggers in your home. And I also want to give a big paws up to my cool producer, Mark Winter. He makes this show happen each and every week. And of course, I thank you for tuning in. If you have any questions or comments or great show ideas, you can email me. It's very easy at arden@ardenmore.com. And don't forget to go on that PetLifeRadio.com site and sniff around. We've got a talented pack of hosts on all different kinds of topics for pets. We cover everything from leaping lizards to paranormal pets. And if you really just can't get enough of me, you can subscribe to my free new e-newsletter. Just go to ardenmore.com and click on the Arden's newsletter on the homepage. Easy! All right. So, until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words for all you two, three, and four-leggers out there. Oh, behave!
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Oh Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.